You're listening to The Take
with Ethan Moore.
By the way, and said thanks for the win, which just makes it all the better.
He can kiss my entire ass, every single bit of it.
I mean, how dumb he was after he murdered those people.
I know.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
That is my final salvo. That is the last thing that I want to say on it.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome into hour number two of The Take right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. I'm Ethan Moore. He's Dave Skull. We're filling in for Sweeney and Strebel on Andy's birthday. Once again, happy birthday, Andy. We're holding the fort down for you. We've got a whole slew of nonsense we're going to get into. Let's round out the text machine, and then we'll do a deep dive into this conference realignment, because I'm going to fully admit I'm geeking out. I'm nerding out with this
stuff. What year is it?
I love it.
Oh, dude. It just brings me back to message board days. Back when before Twitter was big and all of us were on the message boards and it was just nonsense, Wild West. I loved it.
Yeah.
Everybody had sources.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody had threads with their own ideas and we all went nuts.
Do you remember the guy from the West Virginia?
Oh, yeah. Dude.
The dude.
The dude or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy was amazing.
I know, right? I mean, I miss him.
Maybe he pops back up.
Oh, he's definitely out of the
West Virginia is going to be the news.
Oh yeah, for sure. And we'll tell you how we think West Virginia will fit into all of this here in just a little bit. Texter said, "Did the hot dog odds maker also set the recruiting rankings for the Super Six?" That was a good one.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You champion the Super Six. Do you still own that? Will you own that?
Yeah, oh, I mean, I was hyping them up, sure.
Because okay. I will say,
I mean, they weren't the Super Six.
No matter how excited I was about the class and how much, like, because the whole point of that class, what made it good, was that he exceeded expectations recruiting wise mm-hmm. with that dark cloud hanging over his head. I never used the words Super Six.
Yeah,
I never bought into the name, but that doesn't matter because I'll still be accused of it. I will still have to own the nickname because it was used by most of Louisville fans.
So what? There's only three that panned out, yeah. right? I mean, Sam, David,
and Jalen.
Yeah.
But David's gone. So
yeah. I mean, when you see the schools, the
Aiden's
other three
chances. Miss. You know, Aiden's the big miss. That's the big miss.
Yeah.
You know, Quinn. Honestly, he did. I was too. He did as much or more than we expected when he was signed mm-hmm. as a freshman and as a sophomore. He's a dog. You know, he doesn't matter. No matter how good he is, he doesn't matter getting in your face. And I thought if he got his jump shot figured out, he'd be a real asset to that team.
Mm-hmm.
Was sad to see him go because you need as many attitude dudes as you can have on a team. But, you know, I mean, Josh Nickelberry just never really was healthy. Never really got a chance to fit in with this team. And Aiden obviously was just a complete
bust.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
With. It is what it is.
And when he could not, like, you know, physical specimen,
yeah.
ripped beyond all belief. But once he was in the paint and he showed us time and time again that he could not catch a basketball,
yeah,
it's probably a red flag.
Sure.
And then, two, it was in the back of my mind, I have to be honest. Now, I was guilty of hyping him up. But every time I watched his highlight film, I mean, he's dunking on, like, little 6 foot.
Dunking on you.
Yeah. I mean, literally. But, like, at the 1 through 5.
Yeah, you're
there's
right.
no other big men, and it was just kind of like, man, he looks really good, but I don't know.
He reminded me of some of the teams that South Oldham played when I was in school,
yeah.
you know, like Bullet East or somebody mm-hmm. that had
they don't have
literally
a big, yeah.
everybody's between 5'10 and 6'2 in their
yeah.
starting lineup.
Exactly.
You know? They might be pretty good,
mm-hmm.
but they're not. I mean, there's no center. They have no center.
Yeah.
And that was us a lot of the times, too. I mean, we had a couple of 6'5", 6'7", dudes, but they weren't necessarily our best players or anywhere close to it. So a lot of times we'd be playing like 6'2", 6'2", at center and forward and then go play Oldham County with Dante Smith and get absolutely rolled.
The tide has turned here recently.
I know it has.
In favor of the good guys. Texter says at 437-9680, is the fridge clean now?
No, it's not.
No, we'll be clean tomorrow. And Drew thought it would be fine if the guy came in at 6:30. I say no, don't do that, please.
Because, yeah.
A lot of crazy people out there at night.
Hey, man, you know. Your question without answering it, like I opened the freezer to put my sodas in there.
Bad move.
To cool it quickly. And the freezer stinks. Like, ooh. I didn't even want to put aluminum cans that you're not, it's not the flavor, the odor is not going to permeate those cans. It's not going to get in there.
Look, the individual doing this better bring a damn M95 mask because he's going
to
die.
They need to, they really need to unplug the fridge and, like, thaw out the freezer and really scrub in there. I don't know if he's prepared for all that.
Or just throw it out.
That's what I said. When people say, we can't afford the fridge out.
We can afford a new fridge. No, we can't. I'm not even saying buy a new fridge. I'm just saying don't buy a fridge. Throw that current fridge out and get rid of it.
Or
no more fridge.
Or like Dieter said, I mean, that's the whole point of radio.
Help your friends hurt your enemies. I know.
That's right. That's the best part about it is the perks you can get out of it.
Or maybe you can just, you know, seal the freezer shut and you can't even use it. Does the refrigerator stink there?
Worse. Fridge is worse. The freezer. Okay. I was just making a point that even the freezer smells, and it's not like that's hard to do because it's frozen.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know,
I just get in there and get a water, and I'm done.
Stuff doesn't get rotten in the freezer. You put stuff in there.
It's got freezer burn.
Yeah, but that's not rotten.
That's not rotting.
Like that doesn't smell bad. Not supposed to. That's not how that works. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like rotten food. Food doesn't rot and smell at frozen temperatures. It's not supposed to, but freezer stinks.
It's a Jack and Nick kind of problem. Like, those guys just kind of make everything gross.
Then make them fix it.
I'm not going to. I'm not the mom.
But I'm saying, like, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. Like, it's a I drink nothing out
of that fridge.
Two of my favorite people in the world, if it's their issue. Like, and once this thing is cleaned, like, there needs to be policy. It's a community
space.
And
it has to be enforced.
Yeah. Community
Nick's
space.
Also the guy that
everything
kind of
gets
cooks
thrown out
fridge,
every Friday.
Nick cooks fish in the microwave.
No, he's done that before.
That's unforgivable.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Talk about a smell permeating.
I wanted the Spartan kick him. I what'd you say?
Spartan kick him?
Yeah, Spartan kick him.
Is that like the 300 meme?
Yeah, like kick him down the well.
Okay, well.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, dude, I love fish. I grill fish all the time. I smoke salmon and do all that stuff. If you put it in the microwave, you are just
an evil
screwing
person.
Up, dude.
Yeah, it's a bad move.
Especially in a public place. That is sin number one.
Say shenanigans one more time, and I swear I'm going to pistol whip someone, Texter says. All right.
Hey, Farvo.
Then I just already said it. With that text, but I won't say it again. How about that? I want to keep everybody safe.
I said shenanigans before the break.
Yikes. Well, there we go. Let's see here.
The Super Troopers reference. I don't know if I know.
Where's the WVU dude when you need him? Yeah.
If he doesn't reemerge, like in the coming weeks, because I think this thing is happening quickly.
Yeah,
news is breaking by the hour. Like Ethan's got his pulse on it. Oh, got his finger on the pulse over there. Of all of the breaking news happening, he is tuned back into the message board network, and do you want to just go ahead and jump into the conversation then?
Let's do it. So the latest is just to recap briefly. Of course, news broke about this time yesterday that Texas and Oklahoma made overtures to the SEC. There's obviously interest from the SEC side as well. A variety of multiple reports came out after the Houston Chronicle broke it. And one of the main pieces of this as to why this is certainly moving down the tracks at a rapid pace is you had both schools issue non-denials. There were both two sentences. They looked almost identical, basically saying the college landscape is forever changing, and we won't address rumors or innuendo. Basically is what both of those said. Well, you're not saying you're not interested in the SEC. The SEC said the same thing. We're focused on 2021. Great. Okay.
But there wasn't anything. There were no denials.
Exactly. So there's obviously a lot of legs to this. And on these several reports, these aren't bloggers saying this. These aren't message boards fans saying this. This is Pete Thamel. These are reputable outlets Yahoo, you know, ESPN. You have a bunch of these that are now corroborating everything that came out yesterday. So now the latest is you have a meeting at 5 o'clock today with the Big 12 ADs. I do not know if that if OU and Texas are included in that. I would not think that they would be. But I think, though, now that this is serious enough where the Big 12 ADs are like, what are we going to do? Are they going to try to save the league? Because I'm going to operate, when we're talking about Conference Realignment Biscuit today, I'm operating under the assumption that OU and Texas are gone.
Yes.
So
that's the basis of this conversation. And I feel like it's honestly, at this point, a safe assumption.
Mm-hmm. And what, right before we came on air, there was a report that came out that said the Texas AD and one of the representatives from the Oklahoma Athletic Department are going to be meeting with the SEC on Monday. So this is way down the track. This is super fast. And then the Houston Chronicle article yesterday came out and said that they were expecting an announcement within 2 weeks. There was a report last night that also said that Texas and OU will be formally expressing their disinterest in the Big 12 and basically saying we're not going to extend our rights that are up in 2025.
Regardless of whether the SEC thing has smoke, the fact that they want out is 100% true, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, Texas is leading the way.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised how OU is kind of in lockstep with their heated rival. But those that make no mistake about it, in the Big 12, those are the two top dogs.
But that's the thing. Like, they are attached at the hip because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are far and away the two best programs remaining in the Big 12. I mean, Nebraska was traditionally up there as kind of the third. But they're obviously they're in the Big Ten. I mean, really, the wheels started turning on this when Nebraska left, when Colorado left, when Missouri left. Those were three traditional members, and just kind of turned the entire conference on its head.
Yeah,
you know, and I just obviously like the Big 12 as we knew it growing up was a combination of the old Southwest parts of the old Southwest Conference,
Big Eight,
the Texas schools, and mm-hmm. the Big Eight. You know, so it, as a constituted conference, it didn't have that long of a history. Really, Oklahoma and Nebraska did. You know, they were in the Big Eight together. That was the big traditional rivalry in conference before Texas became a part of the party. But those three members leaving just kind of left them as the conference, the Big Five conference with the least amount of members,
mm-hmm.
therefore the least stability. They have really concentrated football power up top. I mean, you've got teams that have Baylor has, you know, risen over the years. They've had their moment. Iowa State's been better.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas State used to be good. Kansas had two good years 13 years ago. You know, like, Texas Tech has had moments. Like, there, Oklahoma State obviously has been better than most in that conference, kind of been the third best consistently, and TCU as well. A couple years ago, they had that year where TCU, West Virginia, Oklahoma State were all really good.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, traditionally, it's Oklahoma and Texas. They drive the bus. They drive the revenue. And if those two teams leave, I don't know what the Big 12 is anymore.
Yeah.
Really. Like, I feel like everybody will be looking for their safety raft at that point.
Yeah. So right now, the Big 12 has 10 teams. OU and Texas leave, the Big 12 has 8. Now, let's just hypothetically say, I think we're in agreement that the Big 12 all but evaporates after this.
Well, those 8 teams would be Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Baylor, TCU,
Kansas,
Texas Tech, Kansas, and West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So, the Big 12 – now – I'm interested, if I'm the Big 12, and again, we're operating under the assumption that OU and Texas are gone, they're not coming back. Looks like that is, at a minimum, that's what's happening.
Even if it's not true, it's fun to pretend, so let's go.
And then also, I think another question is, the grant of rights are up. The grant of rights is a fancy phrase, buzzword phrase, of their television rights. So
Louisville fans should be very familiar with that phrase.
Indeed. So 2025 is when this ends. Based on the most recent reporting, these schools, this is going to happen if it's announced within the next couple of weeks. You would assume this is going to be the last year that those two schools are in this conference. I don't see why they're going to make it now. We don't want to be here. You know, they're going to have to pay $70 million each if they want to leave early, which is like, I mean, let's face
honestly, for them, it's not that much.
Yeah. It's like, cool, fine.
It's a lot to us. It's a lot to Louisville.
Sure.
But like, yeah. To them, especially if they're able to get the SEC money right away,
sure,
it's not that much.
And Texas then, wipes their ass with that.
Yeah, they really do.
And then, but remember,
and now,
though,
now
too.
talk about SEC money combined with Texas money, and that's nothing.
Oh, it's I mean,
so
yeah,
much horn hooking. Oh my God,
so much horn hooking.
Yeah, horns down.
Horns down. That's right.
Well, actually, it's going to be horns up. Is it gonna in be, a big way?
Is it going to be horns down? Is that going to be a penalty in the SEC too?
That's probably they're probably negotiating.
That's why they're leaving. They said, "All right, Big 12." Actually, oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. That was a I'm just going to dump that. Never
that.
I dumped my flub.
Oh, I didn't even notice
him. Man. Did you just dump a mistake?
I dumped a mistake.
Oh, dude, it wasn't even a cuss word.
It wasn't, but it was stupid.
Wasn't even that bad.
It wasn't.
We've been on the air for an hour and 20 minutes.
I want people to have the illusion that I'm paying attention.
Trust me, that thing.
Well, go ahead and dump that so they would know.
A long time ago.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Anyway,
yeah.
I can't believe you just dumped a mistake. I hope Sweeney's listening. That was pathetic.
I've never done that before, actually. I've done like 500-ish shows. I've never done that. I can't believe it.
That's all right. You know, I mean, hey. I don't know if that's all right, but we can.
It's probably not, but whatever.
So,
my goodness.
So, here's where we are. So, if I'm the Big 12, I'm going to be proactive, but that doesn't mean that the eight remaining schools are going to be on board with that. If I'm the Big 12, I'm issuing invitations this week: BYU, Cincinnati, Memphis State, and UCF. Those are my top four. You got very good football programs.
You would take
programs.
Memphis State over Cincinnati in that situation?
Yeah, if I'm the Big 12, I would Cincinnati and Memphis State.
Oh, you said Cincinnati.
I would get four. Yeah, okay. BYU, Cincinnati,
I'm
Memphis
sorry,
State.
I thought you skipped over Cincinnati.
And
my
UCF.
Bad.
And I think when we were talking, you would go with Houston.
That's what I said. Yes.
Those first three, then Houston. I would insert UCF instead. You would have Florida, and then you would have solid football programs. Now, all four of those programs have their warts, and all four of those programs, especially Cincinnati, have very attractive pieces. Now, you combine that after you lose Powers, Texas, and Oklahoma, Kansas ain't going to be happy. Oklahoma State, nobody's going to be jumping for joy if you add those four schools to the Big 12. So that's
brings back memories, man.
I know. And talk about how fortunate Louisville was. I remember how devastated we were back in October in 2011.
Yep.
When West Virginia got the supposed last life raft to the power conferences.
Yep.
I mean, how much better is Louisville set up in the ACC and the Big 12 now?
God bless Maryland for chasing that paycheck.
Thank you.
Seriously. I mean, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, Ethan. Sure does.
Yes.
That was a hell of an unanswered prayer, not getting that last lifeboat.
And for their troubles, those people went and saw your friend throw up outside of a restaurant.
That's right.
Yeah.
All those
the
people.
The Lord giveth
people
and the Lord
prayed,
taketh away.
All those people that prayed for that last spot in the ACC got, you know.
Oh, man.
Had to watch my friend throw up in front of a. Anyway.
After eating a 96-ounce steak.
96-ounce steak. But, yeah, man, like this. The biggest moment in Louisville sports really was the combination. There's two moments. The combination of West Virginia getting that last spot in the Big 12, and then when Maryland moved on, Louisville getting into the ACC over Cincinnati and UConn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at UConn. Look what happened to them.
Their football program is almost non-existent.
I mean, it really is. They never really had, like, they didn't have the level of success we did up to that point. They didn't invest. I'll put it this way. They didn't invest. They had a couple of BCS bowls. They won BCS bowl pathetic at 8-4
mm-hmm.
when we had like 5 8-4 teams in the Big East. And they didn't take anybody to the Fiesta Bowl, and it was pathetic.
Yeah.
But they didn't invest in football the way that we invested in football up to that point. And they don't feel like they deserved the chance to hit the ACC. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't make the investment to that point. They didn't take it seriously to that point. And frankly, nobody in the – they don't need another ACC team in New England. They just don't.
No.
Nobody cares about football up there.
Yeah.
No, they don't care about college football, I'll put it that way. In Cincinnati, you know, we beat them.
Yeah.
We beat them to the punch. We got the spot. Do I think that Cincinnati has shown the ability to be a Power 5 program, and I think they've put in the investment and they've had the success? Yeah. I think they deserve a shot. But I couldn't be happier with where we landed. I mean, do you remember?
Oh, my gosh.
Let me bring you back a little bit. When we were in the Big East and Syracuse and Pitt announced their departure.
It was on a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And everybody was looking around going, what are we going to do? What can we do as a conference? What can the Big East do to stay relevant? And the ideas that were being thrown around at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Villanova.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Villanova's talking about going D1 in football.
They were a very successful FCS team. Mm-hmm. They have some national championships at Villanova.
They got a Hall of Famer.
There you go. Who
was it?
Yeah.
Howie Long.
Howie Long. Thank you, Howie Long. Of course. What was I thinking? But like they've got a rich history in FCS football. We're going, well, they can make a little bit of an investment, and mm-hmm. they're a existing Big East team. You know, promote them to FBS. They'll have a home in the Big East. It'll be a seamless transition. Massachusetts was thrown around a few times as a team of the Big East. You had Marshall. You had a bunch of just MAC teams being thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously USF was brought, we brought in some teams over the years to just awful, though.
It was. Just and awful. I remember it was like Villanova.
There. Sorry. Sorry.
That's okay.
My year's confused. It was so long ago.
You're not going to dump that mistake.
No, I'm not. I don't want you to dump that mistake. I want it to be out there.
I'm not going
to
dump that mistake.
Thank you.
I make also remember mistakes, though, okay, every day. Go ahead.
With Villanova, I remember that it was basically they had to be talked into it because they were like, we're good. We're good at this level. Yeah. And
they said no because I think that there were rumblings that it was actually they were trying to get them to do it.
Yeah.
At that point, and they said no.
And then I remember TCU was going to be in the Big East for about a week.
For a week.
Yeah.
And then after that, that was farther on down the line. Like when TCU accepted membership, and then a week later they bolted for the Big 12, which nobody can blame them.
Which makes sense geographically, at least.
Well, geographically and money-wise, because at that time it was a stable league compared to the Big East. And then there was the San Diego State, Boise State, Western leg
mm-hmm.
or wing of the Big East they were going to do with football-only schools.
Those kids would have been jet-lagged to hell.
Dude, it's such a bad idea, but that's how desperate the Big East was. I read a whole article kind of going over it all. And
was that the one Andrew Adelson did?
Memory Lane the other day, and it was just amazing. Just amazing. The things we were going through as a conference, as a fan base, not having a life preserver, Titanic was sinking. It was just amazing.
I remember the frustration, too, with the Big East because all the fans were like, listen, these schools are leaving left and right every offseason. What are you doing proactively to stop it or to bolster your conference lineup? And then Villanova trying to talk them into going. And that's your best counter?
And
come
eventually
on.
There were what a lot of people consider double agents with Pitt's AD in the room.
They didn't even know, doing
the TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew that Pitt and Syracuse had already decided to leave for the ACC, and they voted to turn down TV deal. And it was like, dude, come on, man. You're not even going to be here in three days. Yeah. You don't even have a vote in 3 days.
Yeah. It's crazy. But I think, though, too, that Pitt-Syracuse kind of backdoor dealings all of a sudden.
They claim they didn't even know they were leaving on the same day. Like, they didn't know that they were the other school. Each one didn't know that the other school had received an invitation.
And then the Big East commissioner. I don't know if it was Trangisi or Marinato.
It was Marinato at the end.
And he had no idea that those two schools were leaving. It almost kind of reminds me of yesterday's news. And you knew that Texas wasn't super happy with the Big 12, but then you see, like, all of a sudden, bam. And these discussions, based on all of these reports, the train is well down the track on this on this movement. And I think, though, now it's not if, it's when they're going to join the SEC. Or if, let's just say, Because we go back to 2011. Remember the Pac-16? You had you had all those teams almost at the finish line. Then it disintegrated. Texas is out. I don't see Texas in the Big 12. That partnership is all but done. And I think if Texas is out, Oklahoma's out. But Texas has the cachet to go independent. I mean, Oklahoma, if you look at it, if you look at the two programs, especially in recent history, Oklahoma wins Big 12 championships. Yeah. They go to the college football playoff. Texas is all about the brand. But they're short on results here recently. But those are two power programs. Those are gone. Again, you bring in a mix of BYU. We got a couple texters said, what about Boise State? That would be another school I guess the Big 12 could kind of shoot for.
Sure.
But those remaining eight Big 12 schools, they're not going to be excited about those additions.
Well, here's the problem. It's all patchwork at this point. And when Texas and Oklahoma leave, every other major team will be waiting for another major conference to scoop them up.
Yeah.
You don't think that if the ACC calls West Virginia tomorrow, the day after that news breaks, if they call West Virginia the next day, they won't take that phone call?
Oh,
they're gone.
Absolutely.
I guarantee their fan base thinks about it all the time.
Yeah. And then we also have to get away, and most of it, if you've been following conference realignment over the last decade, first it used to be about the geographic fit. Then it was about television.
Decades ago, it was about the geographic fit.
Yeah. Then it kind of transitioned to media markets. Now it's almost like, how many eyeballs can we get? What are the followings of these schools? Yeah. Because people are cutting the cable, but you still have lucrative television networks like the SEC Network and the Big Ten Network that are printing money.
So, like when the Big Ten picked up Rutgers, it was in theory to get the New York market, and it wasn't because everybody in New York watches college football. It was just because they had another bargaining chip to get the Big Ten Network on TV screens and in cable packages in the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to prove that everybody watched Rutgers football. They just had the market, and they had enough people there that cared about Rutgers football to have the excuse that you are a Big Ten market now.
Yeah, I mean, Rutgers has tens of fans.
They have tens of fans. They have dozens of fans. Literally. Yeah. And one of, like, Tony Soprano.
Eight dozen fans.
Tony Soprano, you know, Polly Walnuts. They all care about Rutgers football.
Yeah, well, I guess that's fair.
Well, they're back to chopping wood with Shiano in there.
Let me ask you, because somebody this morning compared Texas to Notre Dame. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
To a degree.
Really?
To a degree. I don't think it's quite the same. I mean, Texas is a giant state school. They have a much more regional following. Like, they have a national following, too.
Right.
But they have a much stronger regional following. They're a humongous school.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame is more of a national brand with an alumni base from coast to coast. But their alumni base is much smaller than Texas's.
Right. But the person was basically like, Texas and Notre Dame are both schools that are all about the brand and don't actually do anything. And my counter to that is, Texas has at least been successful in the last 10 to 15 years, whereas Notre Dame has not won a New Year's Six in my lifetime.
Right, but they keep making them.
Yeah, I mean, they got blown out by Alabama in the title game years ago. They made it to the college football playoff this year. I think in terms of, titles and stuff, but I think Notre Dame would get the slight edge.
They win 9 to 10 games at least every year.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is what? You're going 8-4, 7-5 years.
Texas
sometimes
had a lot of lean years lately. A lot of lean years. Like their ceiling
they haven't sniffed
might be
the playoff.
Higher because they actually won a championship. But traditionally, they only have a couple of championships.
Yeah.
They only have three or four, I think, total in their entire history.
But, I mean, you know, the SEC.
Oklahoma has, what, 11?
Yeah.
12?
The SEC is a machine. Can you just imagine if you add Texas and Oklahoma? I mean, you got Alabama, Texas.
But, like, the brand, yeah. No,
Oklahoma,
ridiculous.
Florida. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Oklahoma, man. LSU.
You got.
Like, it just.
I mean, it's must-see TV week in, week out.
They'll have eight or nine brands in college football.
And then the SEC starts their new ESPN TV deal in 2024. Mm-hmm. They're already going to have to renegotiate that.
It because the conference is larger with
I think it was
two top five or six program brands in the United States.
And I believe it was, what, $300 million annually for the existing SEC teams right now? Just imagine, what's the dollar value going to be when you add Texas and Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to now ascend above the Big Ten, but that gap, because let's face it, there's going to be Power Four. If this move goes through, I think the Big 12 is all but done. You shift to a Power Four, but that gap between the Big Ten, SEC, and the ACC, and the Pac-12, or maybe the Pac-14, that's going to be a huge gap. Now, maybe if the Big 12 evaporates, there's, you know, tens of millions of dollars left to be had to generate for the ACC and the Pac-14 or 16.
Yeah.
But let's do this. Let's take a break because there's a lot of interesting texts in there, including one texter. Can West Virginia afford the $70 million buyout? That's a legitimate question. Let's talk timelines.
They might have to wait.
Yeah, they would have to wait.
They would have to wait.
But would there still be a grant of rights if the conference breaks up before 2025?
I don't know. Like, if the conference completely breaks up, but that's why the remaining members, if there's enough that are still trying to make the conference happen, you know, they'll hold everybody to the grant of rights.
Mm-hmm. They're going to want to split that.
They'll have to extend invitations quickly to keep their voting membership up. You know what I mean? So the amount of schools that are trying to leave don't outnumber the amount of schools that are trying to. You know what I'm saying?
And like, remember that airport meeting?
Yeah,
it was with the Big East, and they were going to try to merge with the Big 12 leftovers.
Oh yeah, when Texas and Oklahoma, they thought it was a done deal. They were going to the Pac 12, right? That was that time. And they were going to – it was Iowa State. It was all the northern members, essentially. And
it was the less attractive members of the Big 12.
The Big 12.
And they were going to merge with the Big East, which would have been –
Baylor, Texas Tech were in there, too. Like, mm-hmm. It was all
Iowa
that.
State.
It was Kansas State, Kansas. Which would have been an interesting league. But, interesting is the right way to put it. Like, this is all – it's so fascinating.
It is.
I love it, and I love it because I'm not – like, my school has a landing spot, and the ACC is not under threat. That's why I love it.
And I think, too, in terms of conference ranks, if you're going to rank the conferences in terms of stability, ACC is a solid number three behind the SEC and the Big Ten. The Pac-12, you know, Larry Scott, his infamous tenure is now over. Mm-hmm. They just got a new commish. Maybe they're going to make a big splash. Commissioner Phillips with the ACC.
But I don't think they're in danger of falling apart.
No, but they're going to have some moves to make, like the ACC, in my opinion. If this move happens, and who they're going to grab. So let's talk about that. Let's take a break, and let's talk about the teams or schools potentially available for the ACC to pounce on when we come back. You're listening to The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Take with Ethan Moore.
Dr. Klein, how are you, sir? I'm looking forward to talking to you about the coronavirus this week. Lots of developments.
Yeah, it's like every week. It's a busy week, and I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Did you have a good Christmas before we get into everything? Did you have a good holiday?
I mean, how dumb he was after he murdered those people.
I know.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
Well, you know, I'm Jewish, so we can't play it.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome back into hour number two of The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. I wish I had another, like, phrase to play.
That was nonsensical. Like, I know the clip he was trying to play. It was me wishing Dr. Klein a Merry Christmas.
I was in a hurry this morning.
and him bluntly telling me that
because
he's Jewish.
I'm a dope.
Yeah, I know.
It's my own damn fault. I blame myself, and I did not dump that mistake. So I'd say we're improving.
Yes. You edited out the best part of the whole clip.
I edited out the best part of the clip where you go,
Yes.
I edited that out? Oh, damn.
We didn't hear it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we didn't hear the punchline.
Give me a minute. Vamp for a second. We're going to go pull it.
The moment's gone. Everybody knows the clip.
Sad.
But you,
I think
it,
you'll
it
really
cut
like,
away right when I said, I did you have a good Christmas? It cut away.
And then it goes, and eat there. And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull. Then he goes, well, I'm Jewish. And you go,
it went to Ethan on that.
Oh, yeah, I screwed it up. I blame myself. I need some rest. I need a vacation. So I'm going to go do that.
Stay up all night watching.
You know what
Grant
else
movies?
Is a fine thing to do on vacation? Here's a Mark Blankenbaker little transition for you. Golfing. Go ahead. Read the thing. We have to give away a golf pass. Go ahead. Read the thing.
Well, let's. I got to find the thing here first. Oh, yes. Here it is.
He set you up for success there.
I threw you a lob right into the hardwood.
We're going to have a golf giveaway. You want to do this golf giveaway right now?
Yeah, yeah, let's do it. Be like the fifth caller. Read the whole thing, though.
Two passes to play in the TPC Riverbend in North Cincinnati as part of the Capital Golf Charity Amateur Tour. When? July 26th. Where? Mainesville, Ohio. One pass is a $70 value. Players can partake in fun, friendly, and a good manner competition that will support our service men and women as we all help fight cancer. Learn more at capitalgolf.net. Caller number five, you want to win this golf giveaway? Have at it. 267-9680 is the number. While you're trying to win this golf thing, Biska, let's continue on with this conference realignment stuff. So we talked, we kind of set the table for it about what's
circa
going
2008,
on now.
2008, I'm excited about it. 2012.
Are you surprised at all? And I know we're in the middle of society where it's we got to have results now. We can't be patient. Wait, are you surprised at all about how fast this is moving once the story broke yesterday afternoon?
You know, I guess I shouldn't be. I think the reason why it's so surprising is because there was no buildup at all.
True.
Like, we knew that it was a little unsteady, but it felt like it's been a couple of years since we heard any rumblings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, once A&M left and Texas kind of got what they wanted years ago, the Texas Longhorn Network, you know, getting their own, basically their own TV deal, getting their size, their bigger slice of the pie. You kind of felt like they're not the ones that are going to be upset and leave. You know, they've got what they want.
Sure.
Now, you'd have to look at the rest of the conference with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Those would be the ones that maybe would spur some kind of realignment conversation. But we didn't hear anything for years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, A&M leaving, and then after that, what else did we hear?
Yeah.
It's been how long since they joined the SEC? 3 years? 4 years?
I think so. Four, maybe?
Yeah. It's been a while.
So if...
That was a surprise. Like, it came out of nowhere. Like, exactly. The speed that's happening with after that, maybe a little bit, but...
And I think, though, maybe that leads to what we've been saying about how far these conversations have been. So maybe it appears fast to us, but, it you know, to me, these conversations, it must have been taking place for weeks, if not months.
Had to have been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And clearly Texas and Oklahoma came to some decision together,
mm-hmm.
where they said, look, we need to play our hand. You know, this is – and I think possibly the expansion to 12, the playoff, and getting to that point might have made it so they were like, all right, this is more realistic for us to make the playoff as either A, an independent, or B, a member of a super conference, mm-hmm. like the SEC would be with Oklahoma and Texas, whereas their concern before when it was just a four-team playoff was, look, conference champion and maybe one of the team.
Sure.
Is going to make it from the SEC. When you look to your left and your right as a Texas and say, Oklahoma beats us in our own conference every single year, are we going to bring them to a new conference with Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida, you know, Texas A&M, Tennessee maybe again someday? Yeah. You know, like, you've got that roster of teams, that kind of depth. Can Texas really – realistically make the playoff on a regular basis if it's a 4-team playoff?
No, they can't.
No, but if it's a 12-team playoff with no cap on how many teams can come from one conference, there's going to be years where the SEC gets realistically 5 teams in.
Yeah.
And here's and that's fine. That's fine. As long as there's access to everybody else, I don't care. Like, you can make the other side of the argument where it's like, yeah, the Big 12 will have an automatic bid every single year
because
they'll be a top 6 ranked conference champion. Sure. But they can make more money and have the new access to the playoff, the expanded playoff. I mean, I think that was probably the impetus to say, let's get off of this uneasy ground, go to a super conference, and just be done with it.
So that's an interesting standpoint in terms of if the Big 12 would stay together. Would they still be at the table with an automatic bid to the bigger 12-team playoff?
I think that they bring in those teams. I mean, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Texas Tech, you know, those teams. Iowa State's been decent in recent years.
Mm-hmm. TCU.
Kansas State has a history at times of being decent. You take those teams and you add in a Cincinnati, possibly a Houston, or
BYU,
a Memphis,
UCF, a BYU, Boise State.
UCF or a Boise State, something like that. I think there's enough strength that they were absolutely regularly be – all they have to be is a top 6 conference champion. Mm. That's all they have to be.
Yeah.
Their automatic bids are not tied to individual conferences anymore. It's just the top six, you know, ranked conferences and or top six ranked conference champions. And every single year, the champion of those teams, a reconstituted Big 12, would be a top six conference champion.
Would they, though, in your opinion? So I think right now the Big 12 per team's payout is an average of $37 million. Now, remember, they only have the 10 teams, and they have a lot of Tier 3 deals, meaning some of their games are streamed, so they get some extra revenue for that.
Regional sports networks.
Yes, that we all love here in Louisville. But my question to you is, let's say any of those – I think there's a 16 pod, right? You would say you're going to pull from Houston, Memphis, Cincinnati, UCF, BYU, Boise State. Out of those six, I think there's four slots. Or maybe you go to 14 like everybody else is now. Would, if they just went to 12, they grab those four teams, will their television deal equate to a $37 million payout per team like it does now?
No.
Then my next question would be, how do you still see the Big 12 surviving?
I don't know.
Do you, if OU and Texas are out?
I think that they can survive without a $37 million payout. You know, I don't think it'll go through the floor. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just don't think it'll be – I don't think conferences – like, those teams don't add value. You know, it's just a question of how much – do they detract? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, yeah,
when you look at the average payout with the Texas and Oklahoma, if you take out Texas and Oklahoma, which are clearly your two biggest brands, and you add in, like, BYU's got a strong following. Mm-hmm. If you add in BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Memphis, or Boise, or UCF, like, it's a huge net loss, especially when you're dividing the pie 12 ways instead of 10.
Yeah,
the number might be smaller. The net number or the gross number might be smaller, and the net per team will definitely be smaller. But the key is it an upgrade per team for the teams you're inviting in, which it undoubtedly would be. The step up is generally pretty big from the American to a Big 12 contract, even if it's a smaller contract than they have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they can get the access to the playoff and get that extra revenue as well, which they will year in and year out. I mean, the Big 12 can survive, but the real question isn't what the Big 12, as it looks like right now, is going to do. It's what teams are the ACC going to poach? What teams are the Big 10 going to look at, if any? Are the Pac-12 going to get into that sweepstakes? I frankly, there's only two spots in the ACC and the Big 10, potentially, to 16 teams. I do think, if you ask me right now, what would happen down the road? I think that the ACC is going to make a play at West Virginia. The interesting thing is what they do with the 16th spot. Notre Dame has made it pretty clear that, hey, that one year in the conference was fun, but we don't have any intention of joining full time.
And especially with the CFP playoff expanding to 12 teams, there's no reason for them to. And I'm glad you brought that up, Biscuit, because a lot of questions that I've seen on social media over the last 24 hours pertain to Notre Dame. Well, why can't the ACC just grab Notre Dame now for football full time and then get a West Virginia, boom, 16 teams, you're done? What you just said, Notre Dame is good with their independence.
They don't want it.
If the playoff stayed at four, then I think this would be the catalyst for them to join full time. But that's not going to happen.
And they weren't upset with – sorry, I didn't mean to cut you up. They weren't upset with the – like, Swarbrick was at the table.
Sure.
When they came up with the 12-team model with the four buys going to conference champions, he was there. And he's made it clear, we're fine with not ever being able to have a top four seed because it means we can host another game that makes up the revenue of a lost conference championship game that you could, you know, argue on the other side, hey, you have a chance at another game, more revenue, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, we can get another home game, you know, take revenue from that, TV money from that, whatever, and have that added on to the end of the schedule instead of a conference championship game. I mean, they're fine with being the 5th to 8th seed, essentially, in the conference, in the college football playoffs.
Now, refresh my memory. For this, the revamped playoffs, the 12-team format.
It's not set in stone yet, but this is what they've talked about to this point, just to be clear.
How many
Now, how many conference champions will they allow in?
Six.
Okay.
There are six, quote-unquote, automatic bids, but they're not tied to specific conferences. They're the six highest ranked conference champions in the college football playoff rankings.
Okay.
So the top six, so that means that there will be at least one non-Power 5 champion every year. That's the mechanism which makes it open to everybody, essentially. That's the mechanism which makes it open to every team in, you know, FBS competition to this point. I'm wondering if the bowls ever just go away, frankly, just talking about football bowl subdivision, but that's another conversation. I was a little upset because there were some rumblings, like they made it perfect where the 5-12, you know, the first round games were going to be on home campuses, you know, the higher ranked teams' home campus, home stadium. And all of a sudden, there was like some rumblings last week. Well, some people aren't okay. They're looking at tying in bowl games with those, and like no, just leave those as home games for the higher ranked teams. Just leave it. You did a really good thing there. Just leave it alone. And they're just gonna overhandle it and screw it up before it comes around. I'm sure they'll do something else that won't make any sense either. But yeah, the mechanism to where it's open to everybody is that the top six ranked conference champions in the football playoff rankings, college football playoff rankings, will have automatic bids. They're not tied to conferences anymore. And the top four, 1-4, the teams that get the byes, will all be conference champions. So that's kind of the added in incentive that makes the regular season and the conference championships worth something, is that in order to get one, you have to have, or in order to get a bye, you have to have a conference championship.
So again, operating under the assumption that OU and Texas are gone, would that six team guarantee dwindle down to five?
I hope not. That's the whole point. I mean, I hope not.
So in that way too, because then the argument comes in, well, is the Big 12 a power league? I mean, I would argue that yes, it still could be.
But see, they didn't like,
since they didn't tie it to conference. Yeah,
and they didn't openly say we made it six, you know, just so it's one group of five team and the five power teams. They didn't say anything like that. Like, that was what was kind of everybody inferred from it, but it wasn't, you know, out there.
Sure.
Like, because in theory, it could be three group of five champions and three power five champions if two power five leagues had really down years, in theory.
Yeah.
And just last year, it would have been four power five champions and two group of five champions that would have made the playoffs. So, like, there have been years where it would be multiple group of five champions already. I don't think they would tinker with it at this point, even if the Big 12 was diluted further. You know, like, I'm interested to see what happens to that league if they soldier on as the Big 12 and they just recruit more teams, because there's going to be a lot of teams that aren't really that invested in the conference succeeding going forward if they get the phone call from another conference. If West Virginia gets the phone call from the ACC, that brings the ACC to 15 football playing members and 16 total members. This is my real question, is I think they want to preserve their relationship with Notre Dame. They like having Notre Dame in every other sport. It's a good brand. They're a good, solid all-around athletic department. You know, they had a good baseball team this year. They regularly have a decent basketball team. Their women's basketball team is good. Like, all around, they're a good addition to the conference. They want to preserve that relationship with that brand and the scheduling relationship. Do they invite a football-only member at that point? Do they look around and say, Cincinnati, for football only?
But then where would they go? Because, you know, the American would be like, no, you're not going to do that to
us. Will the American do that?
Absolutely.
Would they kick him out for every other sport?
If it was their football program, their best program here recently, they would be like, well, you're not doing us any favor. You're taking your best program out of our league, and then you expect us just to fall back. I think they're too proud, and they're too good of a conference overall to be like, nah, Cincinnati, you want to do that, you're on your own.
What does Cincinnati do in that situation, though? Because the money's probably good enough in football. You know, whatever check they get from the ACC is probably good enough for them to leave and figure it out with the rest of their program.
Or if you're Cincinnati, do you say, listen, we really appreciate you reaching out to us. How about you accept us for all sports, and we'll take
a huge chunk less for the first 5 years.
For the first 10 years. But what do you do with football then? Or I'm sorry, what do you do with every other sport? You just have a 17-team conference?
Well, I think we can get into this in hour number three. I'm saying if I'm the ACC commissioner, I'm adding three schools left over from the Big 12, and I'm not even asking a group of five member yet. I
realize that geography doesn't mean much, but I – all right, we'll get into this because I have some thoughts on the schools that you might bring up on the other side.
And then let's face it, too. The ACC is locked in to their TV deal through 2036. If the conference wants to renegotiate this, they're going to have to expand. That is the only way. That's the only way. Notre Dame's not coming in full-time for football. That would be the grand slam, no doubt about it. But that's not going to happen. So like what Biscuit brought up, there's going to be some uneven numbers. Now, where the conference wants to come in at, we'll see. But before we go to break, here's the amount of revenue that the Power Five brought in. I'm going to go by revenue overall, then school payouts. Big Ten, number one, $769 million. SEC, number two, $729 million. Here's the huge divide. Pac-12, $534 million. ACC, $497 million. Big 12, remember, with just 10 schools, $409 million. So you go from 769 to 409. That's a huge gap. Now, that's there's massive. The difference. There's a difference of teams there. But then if you go to the school payouts, Biscuit, the average payout for a Big 10 school, $54 million. The average for an SEC, $45 million. The Big 12, anywhere from 37 to 40. The Pac-12, 33.6. The ACC is last, anywhere from 31 to 37. So the ACC has a lot of ground to make up. They're not going to catch the Big 10 or the SEC. But this is now the time to pounce. You're going to have to add some new teams, mm-hmm. some new markets, if you want to get that pay increase up. And I think bigger might be better as far as the ACC is concerned. But with that being said, but there's also a drafting process of these teams. Obviously, the SEC is going to get the top two. I think the Big Ten will get the next two. Then it's going to be an all-out war against between the ACC and the Pac-12 for the rest of them, if they even want them. We'll get into that in hour number three. You're listening to The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.